No A5, no programme for government. That was the blunt message from the Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness. He warned that if work on the project does not go ahead on the aftermath of next year's Assembly election, there would be no programme for government. He addressed issues including infrastructure, unemployment and the expansion of McGee at a packed public meeting held by the party last night. Afterwards, Mr McGuinness spoke to our reporter, Theresa Craig.
The executive is behind the A5 project. The A5 project was stopped by the courts in front of a judicial review in the Department of Regional Development of Minister Danny Kennedy, who was duty-bound to stand by the programme for government commitment, but whose political party that he was part of, the Ulster Unionist Party, time and time again argued against the construction of the A5. And of course this was the same political party that argued against Michelle O'Neill, our agriculture minister's decision to move an entire government department, the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, from Belfast to west of the Band, to Ballykelly, which would be of enormous benefit in the development of that site for people in Derry City and in Limavady. So I think the fact that I was able to explain to people what we were doing and the obstacles that we were facing left people with a very clear appreciation of what the problems were, but more importantly, of what the solution is.
Where are we at with the A5? You said you were very positive that it would actually happen, but I suppose many people will be wondering, well, when is it going to happen?
Well, we have to go through a process now, and because of the judicial review of a new inquiry. What is very important in terms of all of that is that, and I think that will be accomplished over the course of the next year or so, is how we fund the A5. And during the course of the negotiations that we've been involved in, I've repeatedly raised this issue with the Irish government. I've also directly raised it with the Taoiseach, and I'm very pleased to see that it was mentioned very favourably in the course of the future infrastructural plans of the Irish government, which were published yesterday. So we're going to hold the Irish government's feet to the fire on the commitment of over 400 million as their half of a project, which isn't just a programme for government commitment for the executive, but is a high-level commitment of the North-South Ministerial Council.
In turn, though, didn't Minister Charlie Flanagan stipulate that this was all very dependent on the stability of the political institutions in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think that the next few weeks will tell the tale. I'm not involved in these negotiations for them to fail. We need to get an agreement which meets the needs of the most disadvantaged people within our society.
But how do you do that if you don't have a working service? Government? How do you do that? You mentioned this evening that unionists aren't playing ball. They don't want to basically work with you.
I'm saying that unionists are in the administration because they have to be. We're in the administration because we want to be. Now, what we need to do is recognise, I mean, Danny Kennedy, for example, and the Ulster Unionist Party have resigned. I believe that they will not take up their position this side of the next Assembly election within the executive. So if we get an agreement, and I believe we can get an agreement in these talks, then that position will be filled by a member of the DUP. I would have more confidence in a member of the DUP fulfilling the programme for government commitment on the A5 than I had in Danny Kennedy because of his party's opposition to the project.
Is there any announcement due or in the pipeline on the A5?
I've spoken to Peter Robinson about it. He is committed to the construction of the A5. I don't have any doubt about that whatsoever. And I've put my nailed my colours to the mast on the project. If the project doesn't go ahead in the aftermath of the next Assembly elections, which is only a few months away, we will not be agreeing a programme for government.
Have you any timescale?
I would have every expectation that the A5 project will start in just over a year from now. The A5 is going to go ahead, and those people who say that the A5 is dead in the water are going to get a big surprise.
The Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness, speaking there to Theresa Craig. Well, we did ask to speak to the former Roads Minister, Danny Kennedy, who was criticised there by Martin McGuinness. We're told he is not available. We are trying to speak to the Ulster Unionist Party's Tom Elliott, who was opposed to the A5. You may be aware, of course, the DUP are now in charge of this particular portfolio when it comes to roads. So let's get the thoughts of the East Londonderry MP, Gregory Campbell. Mr Campbell, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Is Martin McGuinness right when he says there that the DUP is fully committed to the A5?
Well, we've always been committed to developing the entirety of the roads infrastructure, including the A5. So, you know, I don't know why Martin McGuinness thinks that it's helpful to say unless certain things are in the programme for government, we won't be signing up to it, because, of course, in the very combative world of politics, Ulster style, it then invites others to say, well, OK, if he wants to play that game, then we put something up for a red line issue that has to be in the programme for government. And, of course, that could go on round the executive table, so I don't think it's particularly helpful, especially when most people are in favour of it. But what I would say is that if we're talking about economic benefit and betterment of the Northwest, the A6, the dueling between Dungiven and Londonderry, would be much more beneficial in terms of delivering beneficial change than the A5 would be, although we support both. So this is not a case of prioritising something. It's not a case of, apart from Sinn Féin, anybody saying that has to be done or we don't sign up. That's not a helpful way to proceed.
Tom Elliott from the Ulster Unionist Party is with us as well. Good morning to you, Mr. Elliott.
Good morning.
The Deputy First Minister, very critical last night of your party, basically said that your party was the big stumbling block to the A5 moving ahead. How do you respond to that charge?
Well, I'm not sure how our party was the stumbling block, because if necessary, the executive could have taken a decision to go ahead with it. Point is that it has been delayed for some time because of the environmental aspects. It had to be, go through a new process. Because of the time whenever Murphy was in post, the Sinn Féin minister was in post, they didn't get the process correct. So it was thrown back into the that environmental aspect to have a review of it. And also, let's not forget that the Irish government had promised huge amounts of money to help build that road, and it didn't come up.
So just to be clear then, you are fully behind the A5?
Absolutely, I didn't say that at all. I didn't say I was really behind the A5. We were behind the strategic proposals that came out in the 2020 document, which was for a significant upgrade to the A5. We were fully supportive of that. What this was a whole new project.
I'm confused. Are you saying you're supportive of the A5 or you're not supportive of the A5?
I think I made that clear there. But I personally didn't support the A5. Obviously, our party minister, Danny Kennedy, brought forward the proposal when he was in ministry. The difficulty was that it was rejected by the courts, so it had to go back into the review.
So you and Danny Kennedy are not on the same page, in other words, is what you're saying?
Well, when he was in the ministry, yes, he brought it forward, and I was quite clear at that time. I don't think there was any ambiguity. I wasn't in support of the proposal that was actually coming forward. I was supportive of the upgrade of the A5, the original proposals to upgrade the current A5, and you know, I know that there were other proposals I thought warranted much more merit.
Yeah.
For example, the Dungiven bypass, I thought was a project that was much more needed.
Gregory Campbell, your party, of course, holds this portfolio, albeit now for several hours every week. Is Michelle McElveen getting any closer to signing off on a document which will maybe move this project forward?
Well, we are making progress, but the problem is going to be that given the legal decision that Tom alluded to there, it is probably going to mean yet another public inquiry which has to be gone through, and I think Martin McGuinness alluded to that. So that is going to have to happen, and we can't avoid that. But, you know, let's come back to the nub of this. The nub of this isn't whether the A5 goes ahead or whether it doesn't. My guess is that it will, and we're certainly behind developing the road links wherever they are. Because and we've got to do that sensitively, taking account of any issues along the route. But the problem is, if people say this is a red line, then they invite others to also have red lines. For example, I could say the Education Minister, John O'Dowd, who just a few weeks ago opened a Dungiven secondary school for Irish language for only 3 local pupils. We could say a red line for us is that can't happen, because that's a total and utter waste of money for 3 local pupils. Now, where would that take us if we said that's a red line, that can't go ahead in any other context, and then that would invite yet another response from somebody else who would say, well, if they're going to do that, we're going to put in another red line. Let's try and work collectively to resolve these issues so that everyone benefits.
Where are we at the moment with these current negotiations at Stormont? Because a lot of people listening out there this morning might be wondering who exactly is running Northern Ireland right now. We've already heard in the programme this morning about a waiting list. 400,000 people currently on the health waiting list here. Top medic from across the water says it wouldn't be tolerated over there, and it sounds as if we're a laughingstock when others outside Northern Ireland look at what is happening here. Is there anything happening in Stormont to try and resolve this?
Yes, the progress is being made during the talks, and hopefully we can conclude that progress in the course of the next few weeks. But, you know, all...
Does that mean a deal is close?
No, it means that we're making progress. But, you know, if we don't get a resolution, then what happens is we get a restoration of direct rule. And see all the issues about red lines for certain road schemes or schools or hospitals? Nobody need worry about all that, because there will be ministers from London who will decide that they think that we should put a hold on schemes A, B and C and maybe take over on schemes D, E and F. And we won't have any input unless we resolve these issues. Welfare reform and terrorism is at the heart of those discussions.
Last word to you, Tom Elliott. From what you're hearing around the table from these current negotiations, are you getting a sense that we're inching closer towards a deal, or is all this going to unravel?
Well, I think there is significant focus on some aspects, particularly legacy issues. What we haven't made any progress on is welfare reform and the budgetary aspect. And look, that's what's causing the long waiting lists at the moment. That's what's causing the grass on the sides of the roads not to be cut. That's what's causing many of all of the blockages within the executive departments. Unless we get a resolution on welfare reform and budgetary issues, then, you know, I think this country is almost bankrupt.